Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, Our Leading Edge. I'm happy that you were able to join us today. Today, we're having a very interesting conversation, and I'm excited about this because it's not only is it's going to be a little bit of a higher philosophical discussion, which, as all of you know that follow me, I have that level of philosophy to everything that I do, but it also is going to narrow down and speak specifically about the effect we can have on others, and we're going to get into that in some depth. Today's show is called Are You Well Connected? And when I first wrote that, I made the assumption that everyone was going to go to the place of how many Facebook friends do you have? How many LinkedIn connections do you have? Do you have the latest gadgets to be able to be connected? Well, that's not at all what I am talking about. I'm talking about the bigger picture of connection. And are we connected? Are we connected to something larger than us, perhaps? Are we connected to those around us? Are we connected to ourselves? And we're going to dive into that. And I have a really great guy with me here that I've known for many years, and I just adore. And I think all of you are going to adore him also to talk about this, because he's got such a great way of sharing this information. So without further ado, I'm going to let you know who this is, and then I'm going to introduce him. My guest today is Brian Weber, and Brian really has an expertise in organizational leadership, and he works specifically on culture and connection and influence. He's a faculty member at the School of Business for Vancouver Island University, and that's in Nanaimo, British Columbia, Canada. His specialty is really in organizational studies and human resources, but he really brings a great understanding of so much more than that in everything that he does. He's a former organizational advisor to senior leadership for a Fortune 100 company, so he has a well-versed experience that he brings to everything that he does, and he's also a longtime member of the International Coaching Federation. He's very active in his community. I've worked on many boards with this gentleman, and I've enjoyed every bit of it, and he's really involved in specific community, those organizations that are supporting leadership learning, and that's how Brian and I are connected. He has a specific focus on interdisciplinary understanding of organizational life and our personal experiences in the working world. So that's, to me, that's the real life conversation that really helps leaders to grow and develop and then to outwardly inspire. So we're going to talk about that today. So Brian, welcome to the show. Say hello.
Hi, Jenna. Thank you very much for the very kind introduction. I'm really excited to be here today.
Oh, as am I. You know, we've worked together for lots of years, and I love it. I love working with you because I love what you bring to the table and the way you have of interacting with others and also sharing your wisdom. So I'm really fortunate today to be able to spend this time with you. So thank you. I want to start just with the basic idea of what are we talking about here? What do we mean when we talk about connection? Can we start there and then drill it down a little bit more?
Sure. So when we're talking about connection, I like to bring it back to a basic understanding of physical reality. And I know that's like really big. And I do that because I want us to know, and I've learned it for myself, that at our most fundamental basic level, we are all interdependent and all connected to each other, and that implies some level of relationship. And the challenge behind that is that that's not how we tend to approach life and practice life because of things that have happened in the last few hundred years. So when I talk about us being fundamentally connected to each other, I'm talking about a level of physical reality.
And I love that you bring that, Brian, because I know for me, that wasn't very big in my line of fire maybe 5-6 years ago, and I never really thought about it, to be honest. Which is funny because I consider myself a connector, and I've always been the person that connects people together, that will bring a certain person in that's needed, all these kinds of ideas around connection, but I never really for myself, but in the last little while, understood the level of that and what that even meant, if you will, and that there is this interrelationship that's always present and it's always happening. So I find that really, I just find it really interesting, and you can speak to that, that I didn't even recognize that in the past. And what happens when we don't recognize it, and how it can affect us when we do?
I think that what you're talking about is that intuitively, many of us do feel it and do understand the idea of connection. The challenge is that we're always at odds with a material world that discusses our life and our organizations in a different way. So in what we see in organizational life is a world of dualities, profit and loss, capital and labor, rich and poor. There's a number of these ways of simplifying the world, and our business life, our organizational life is dominated by that thinking. That's not how things used to be. And it's also not how things really are. And part of that is because the science that our current contemporary business and organizational world is based upon, it's a very important Newtonian science that really reduced things into small components. And boy, we gained so much out of that. We gained the ability to have much of the modern life that we have. However, that science has been surpassed by science that understands that everything operates at a much deeper connected level.
So when what I'm hearing is that when we live in this place of, we could say in the material level of life, where we know there's dualities, we know there's rich, there's poor, we know there's different levels to it, but if we don't truly grasp the level of interaction on a connection, physical, physics way, then we may be living at a certain level, and that would be a surface level of life and also a surface level of everything that we do. So the way we interact, the way we communicate, the way we lead, the way we go about ourselves in this world. Without the deeper understanding of this piece around connection, then we will only go so far as an individual. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's exactly it. The premise of much of contemporary organizational life is based upon disconnection and individualistic approaches to how we want to operate in our organizational life. And we will be superficial that way. We will be missing the underlying realities. It doesn't mean you don't do things to strive for specific things for yourself, it doesn't mean we don't categorize to be able to understand things. We always will do that. We are categorizing creatures. That's what we are. That's what we do. And it's useful, and it helps simplify the world to make. It allows us to make decisions and to take actions. And that's how we need to operate. At the same time, as you said, if we don't understand that actually at a deeper level we are really interconnected, we will be making bad decisions. Sometimes we will be missing the bigger picture, longer term implications of things. And so I always like to bring it back to the core science talks about connectivity, and I'll give some examples in a moment. And then we can use that at the same time. as we're making decisions based upon categorization, you know, what's good and bad, what do I need to do to be able to make my targets this year or whatever goals you have, and at the same time realize the bigger picture and what are the implications on that. If I understand, wow, I've got some influence and connections that go beyond the simple categorizations that I'm using.
So a real interplay is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about either or. We're talking about there being, I want to use the word necessity. I know that's maybe sounds like a harsh word, but a necessity that we do understand as individuals that there's an interplay coming in here, and that if we stay in that level of categorization and everything that we do, while that may serve us, we ideally want to move into this place where we can use the we can categorize everything in our lives, and then we can also understand that there's a higher, that there's a deeper connection happening. And when I hear you say that, I think, you know, wow, we could take this conversation as big as it can possibly be. You know, we can always even go to the place of energetic connection and how we are the way we connect to people is energetically driven and things like that. But what I like about what you bring is that you bring really real components to this, because we're talking about people that are leaders. They are working within an organization. Most individuals are working on their own development. They, in some form or fashion, they're wanting to develop in some way. And that can come in different forms. So what would you, let's talk about the science a little bit so that we can give some foundation to this.
Sure.
So that people can understand that.
Let's just give a couple examples. One that is just recent, last week I was walking with a neighbor friend of mine who has a lovely backyard garden. It's just really, it's overwhelming, it's rich, it's just an amazing backyard. And he has hummingbirds. And he also has cats. And he was noticing that his cat was playing with something in the grass. And he went over to the cat and found that the cat was playing with a hummingbird. And it was a rufous hummingbird. And the hummingbird was just stunned, so my friend picked it up. And he just stayed with the hummingbird till it regained its vitality and it flew away. That rufous hummingbird that is in his backyard actually winters in Mexico, 3,000 to 4,000 miles away. So the bird that he's nursing back to life is part of two, what we believe to be, and think of as separate ecosystems. This suburban area here in our community, and 3,000 to 4,000 miles away, a rich part of a jungle environment in Mexico. So when my friend interacts with that bird, in this case, potentially saving his life, he's also impacting that ecosystem 3,000 to 4,000 miles away. And that's something that happens. I mean, that's migratory birds. We can be aware of those kind of connections between distance for a number of things, whether they be weather-related, other natural phenomena, and then we get into the many other kinds of things that can happen just from us moving around in the world. So that's one thing, is that our ecosystems are not as separated as we like to talk and think about. Probably more fundamental is when you look at the stars. And you look at a star at night, you're not looking at a star. What's happening is you're receiving the energy from something that's a billion miles away that happened a million years ago. Your history, your existence is shared and being experienced by all these things around you, and you are in turn experiencing something that happened in distant time and space all the time. 24/7, you're getting this energy, and I don't want to be metaphysical about it, it's actual real. You're experiencing these particles that emerged from this star a billion miles away a million years ago. So at our most fundamental basic level, we are connected with these things across time and space, both big picture and here on the planet. At the most basic fundamental understanding of science, we have connected. And even when you get down to quantum physics, everything is relationship and connection at that level. So I take a lot from these current thinkers, especially in the last 40 years, who are willing to talk about it and bring it out, that the idea of everything being separated and disconnected just doesn't fly anymore.
And I love the very real examples that you used there, because it allowed me to really understand what we're talking about here. So if we can look at these two examples that everyone experiences in some way with the ecosystem of where they live and the stars in the sky, everybody has experienced that. So when we can take that understanding of there being a very real, undeniable scientific connection there, how do you bring that to an individual that is trying to understand their connection? How does that relate to a person?
So I like to say, okay, my basic daily life now is based upon this idea that I have this connection with all these other things and people that is happening all the time. What does that mean for me as a person operating in the world daily with plans and dreams and all these things and that I'm involved with and around me that I'm part of? What it gets down to for me is this balance between the complexity of a world where I'm connected with and the simplicity I need to make decisions. And we've swayed so far to the simple side as saying, well, this is a simplistic view of something. Now I know what the categories are. Now I know how to act. It brings it back to saying, and at the same time, I've also got the challenge of understanding that I may have impacts and influences on things and people beyond my simple categorization. I love what you said earlier about it's not either or. It's always and. It's always and.
I love that. It's always and. We need to just pause for a minute so everybody can write that down. It's always and. I think it's a great statement for so many things. But when we come from that place of it's always and we think that there are ripple effects, there are effects that we are having beyond what we can see. And if we start to relate to this world and to the people around us, coming from that place of the effect, my big word's contribution, right? I'm always looking to see how myself and others can make a better contribution. And so when we think about effect or contribution, when we can understand that we are having that effect, we are making a contribution in some form or fashion to things beyond our comprehension, then how does that inevitably changes the way we start to behave or act, or the actions that we take and the way we relate in this world. It's got to, in my mind.
Absolutely. If in the process of doing the things that you do, you're aware that you are going to affect others by what you say and what you do, then you end up starting to address, well, what part of that can I control and what part of it is out of my hands? And let's just use the example of speaking in public. So when you speak in public, you've got some intention that you're trying to make happen, manifest with these words that you're expressing, and they go out there, and they have this impact on this audience, and you can't control that at all. You can't control how people are going to receive that, how they interpret it. Every one of those persons is going to have their own interpretation of what it is that matters to them and how they hear what you have expressed.
Question, and I think,
what can you control?
Right. And I think that those are the pieces that I want to discuss further. And I think we can even narrow it down even more of, you know, if we're speaking to a room full of people and we could not comprehend the effect we could have on anyone. But even in baseline communication, one-on-one communication, or if you're in a meeting, or if you're interacting in some way, isn't that, that's true, right? That's true that we have no idea how the person we are relating to is taking that and what they're taking from that. So what I'm hearing from you is there's a lot of pieces about intent. Is that?
Absolutely. And for me, the key word is clarity. It's clarity of your intent, clarity of your values and how you want to do things. For example, if a leader is reaching out to people to bring them along to whatever the goal or end game, end result that a leader is trying to make happen in the world, the leader has two things that they can control. They can control the clarity of their vision, what they're trying to communicate, this future place, state, thing, whatever it is that they're trying to get people to. They can have clarity around what that future is, and they can have clarity of who they are so that people will know how they're going to get to that place, and the who they are is their values.
Yeah, and when you have that interplay of all of those pieces, then we have the effect, right? The cause, and then we have an effect. But then there's the deeper piece of that. We don't truly know what the effect is. There are certain pieces of that that we could see immediately. We'll see behavioral shifts. We'll see in people taking certain actions. We'll see a certain level of understanding with the people that we're discussing this with. However, there are effects and connections outside of what we can currently see on how that will play out from that moment.
Yes, I think that's all you can do is, with good intent, with clear values about what's important to you so that people can see that and know how it is you're trying to act, you bring those out, people will follow. You can't dictate exactly how that's going to happen. You can be hopeful that you've got people who see things similarly enough and are on board with how you want to do things enough that they're going to be part of it with you. But you can never know for sure, and there's a limit to how much you need to worry about that. I think this is where the emphasis, it's interesting, when we talk about this whole idea of connection, at the same time, we're also talking about individual responsibility. What can you do, and how do you do those things? And that has a lot to do with, what do you know about yourself, and what do you pay attention to? It's hard to be clear with people around the future and how you think that you want to get there if you're not aware of yourself and how you come across to people and the strength of your convictions and what your values mean to you. So, interestingly enough, this idea about connecting others actually comes down to a connection to yourself and understanding yourself.
I just love it. You know what I love about you, Brian? You're always in my head. Because that's exactly where I went with this, is this the idea that if we, you know, leading self is the vital piece to that. Because when we're talking about intention and values and even behaviors, things that we're doing, I love what you said about what you know about yourself and what you don't know about yourself. And that's the whole piece around why would personal development be important? Well, if we're all connected, and we're connected at so many layers and so many levels, and we're having an effect, and we're making certain levels of contribution, and we have certain effects that we can see and we know we make, and we also have certain effects that we have no idea that's being made, and those are happening. They just ripple effect of you is happening in this world, then the only way to, you said there's controlled variables and there's uncontrolled variables. One of the things that I heard from you is the big controlled variables is, ourselves and how we relate to ourselves and how connected we are to ourselves, so that we can have more, would you say, control over the way we affect people? Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I think that the if you want to have integrity in how you are in the world, so that you know that you are doing things the best way you can, this is whether you're being a leader or not. If you want to have integrity with how you're being, then you need to have an understanding of what are your triggers, what are your patterns of behavior, what are your tendencies when you express emotion. For example, I tend to get really passionate about certain things, following certain ideals. And when I go into a business meeting where there's something being talked about that's going to bring up some kind of discussion around my idealistic view of the way things should be done, I know that I'm going to probably get pretty wound up in that meeting. And so I do things prior to the meeting and within the meeting to kind of understand where I'm at emotionally and physically at before and during, so that I can keep happening the things that I want to happen. So if my focus in this meeting is helping people understand there are some concerns if we don't do things a certain way, that I'm going to lose that if I don't manage that in a way where it's productive for others to see. If I get way too passionate, then people focus on my passion and not what I'm really trying to achieve. So a lot of it's that awareness of who you are and how you like to operate. And I think being aware of your physical responses to emotions in the moment is a really core part of that, actually.
So when we say, are you well connected, a big piece of this is really the idea of, are you well connected with yourself? When I think about what you said around before you go into a meeting, and you know there may be certain triggers within that meeting and things that you will emotionally respond to, therefore pulling yourself outside of yourself and not having the impact you're looking to have within that meeting, you're really connecting into yourself prior to the meeting, and however that looks for you. Certain people breathe, certain people go out in nature, certain people have things that they say, whatever that means for you. They have discussions with themselves. If we don't have that piece of connecting in, then we actually lose part of ourselves before we even enter the room, because, well, we could argue that energetically shifts are starting when you walk into a room around connection. So the more grounded you are with yourself and the higher level foundation you have of yourself prior to these experiences, the better able you will be to contribute from the place you're wanting to contribute. Is that fair?
Absolutely. When you told me the title, the Well Connected, my mind immediately went to well-being and connection, and that the well-being of myself supports the connection. I like to draw, you know, when we think of how people connected, we often will draw some circle or object and draw an arrow between that and the other thing that we want to be connected to. So we draw these two entities. I figured out that to connect to that other person, that other entity in a real meaningful way, I actually draw an arrow to the inside of the circle and then from the inside of the circle to the inside of the other circle. So it's that part of going in to really connect. You got to go in to be able to really connect with others.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't start inside yourself, then you cannot possibly get inside the other object or the individual.
It's always going to have a superficiality to it.
That's right.
Which is interesting, because that loops right back around to the start when we talked about, in the business and organizational world, we're really, really pressured to create a very simplistic, superficial way of operating. which mm-hmm. is very disconnected.
Very disconnected, and then we live in that categorization piece, and we will always stay on the surface with that. And then you have certain individuals that are in the place to, you know, when I look at it, when I think about a circle and I draw an arrow from the middle of the circle over to another circle into the middle of that circle, you have certain individuals that the arrow will be from the outside to the outside. Then you have individuals that it will be a little bit, it'll just crest the outside. Then you have a little bit further in. Then you have those individuals that are willing to go right into that center of that circle. And those, it can be said, those individuals that are willing to go to the middle of the circle will have more success in what it is they're trying to accomplish in this world, even with their life. Do you agree with that? Or
absolutely. If, and you'll see it again and again in different domains, everything is based upon relationship, and especially in striving to achieve things in your daily life and your longer term goals, and there's so much that's dependent upon other people. You're going to have to be able to make those connections. You're going to have to be able to work with relationships, and relationships are complex. They're not simplistic. And so there's always this need to find, how can I make these relationships rich? And it's going to require going within. It's going to require doing a lot of anding instead of oring. And you knowing who you are and what you want. And sometimes that does mean you make decisions about who you want to be with because of that. Relationships are vulnerable. They're going to be vulnerable. That's a given. And the more vulnerable you maybe are willing to be, and in the right situations with the right people, the more you can get out of those relationships, and the more you can have that richer, deeper life.
And really, I don't believe that relationships are supposed to be simplistic, because they are relationships. We are relating to, we are connecting to another. So if they were simplistic in nature, then we wouldn't really be relating to. We would be superficially discussing with, which is a very different, and there's times for that, right? There is times for that in our lives,
yes,
and that's
there is.
It's
there
a
is.
Very, but we are talking about relationships, relating to another individual, and in order to do that, that's about connection. Love it,
yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's
You're
great.
Welcome.
So, any final words? Anything you want to sum in there, or final words before we close out the show?
There's an economist named Luigino Bruni who talks about relationships as a wound in the blessing, and that the most fullest aspect of life is dependent upon these relationships. And as you said, they're complex. They're not simple. And they're going to have things in them that don't always make us feel great, but they make us feel alive and full. And I always talk about these things because we spend such a vast amount of our time working and living, trying to make things happen for organizational purposes, business purposes, whatever it is our vocation is. And I want to live that time fully and richly. And I don't know why I would want to do it superficially when it's the massive part of my life.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Brian, thank you. Thank you for joining me and all of our listeners and just bringing this bit of wisdom into their lives. I think it's just so pivotal for people to understand that they are connected, and how well they're connected is up to them. So can you just share any ways anybody can find out more about you or get hold of you if they have any comments, questions, or further need of your services?
Well, I can always be reached via the university at brian.weber@viu.com. That's Brian.weber@viu.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for joining me. And all the listeners, thank you. Please start to look at how well you're connected and move through the world in that place. Next time, I'm going to be joined by Jessica Amos, and we are going to be speaking a little bit further about this in the conversation around finding ourselves, and she's just brilliant at this. So thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.